Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, we're back. I'm Sean Robinson, and it looks like we've had Jasmine walk off. She's very upset.
He never loved me.
I guess we shouldn't have. Made her talk to that stripper.
Why?
We're going to keep going. Clayton, Clayton and Annalie.
Gino, why won't you come inside me? Gino!
Let's talk about the guinea pigs. Keep going, everybody. I know it's a lot. It's a lot.
I gave him my fake asshole.
Clayton, what was it like going to Indiana with the guinea pigs?
I ran this butthole so much.
Okay, I don't think this is going to get solved today.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
I did enjoy the screaming backstage. they were trying to keep going.
He never looked at me that way. He never loved me.
He never loved me.
Whoa.
He hugged her.
Whoa. Whoa. Poor Daisy.
The thing about it is, I think that was real.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who call her a faking something. I just think she's that histrionic.
That's a great word for it. We've never used that word, but it is histrionics. Yes.
Like, she actually can't control. I don't want to diagnose. It's a form of mental illness, what she has, that makes her do that. She has no control over extreme emotions.
Yeah,
Didn't they lump histrionic personality disorder in with something else, like in with other personality disorders? But it used to be one.
Yeah. It's been so long since I don't fully remember. But also, too, there's just...
But yet you remember choreography that you did in show choir.
I know. Mm-hmm. I do. Sure do. Mm-hmm.
And this would actually be more important because it's what we do, but you don't remember mm-hmm. that.
No. Mm-mm. Look it up. Also, a lot of PTSD.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's Whoa. It's get ready. There's just going to be more of it because hay's coming up, everybody.
Happily ever after. Right after this.
Right after this. Y'all, we have a very sad announcement. I wasn't going to tell Poodle about this because I didn't want you to stress about
it. I was going
to
announce the name of our show before you did that.
That's probably better.
Because we were trying to get better about that.
Yeah, probably need to.
This is Reality Gaze. This is 90 Day Fiancé, part two of the 90 Day Fiancé season 10, part two of the tell-all, the final episode of this season.
Yes.
And I'm Poodle. I'm Jake Anthony, a.k.a. Poodle.
And I'm Maddie, a.k.a. Fuck Maddie. Yeah, fuckface. Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Ran.
The sad announcement is, and we're a little more broken up about this than we thought. This week is our last episode of our classless Happily Ever After.
Classless 90 Day Fiancé universe. Not really. We're gonna do Family Chantel after it, but the last 90 Day Fiancé episode proper.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a spinoff.
Last one with Nicole and Azin. So we say that because if you are in class, if you are some
That's
of you
on RG
for
Plus,
it's on RG Plus on the five on the poo poo platter, right? Which no,
that's, that is the poo poo platter. Yes,
I'm trying to be better about remembering. It's poo poo platter, and then the whole enchilada is our $8
yes,
tier.
And then the smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. So, it's but the 15. with the poo poo platter, that's the Love Is Blind tier as well. And so, some of you that are 90 Day and Love Is Blinders, you're kind of like, hey, Joe, what else is on this? If you feel like you're not into that, well, we're starting Family Chantel next week or 2 weeks actually, because we're doing
from
the Where Are
the
They
beginning.
Now? From the beginning. There will not be a watch-along video next week because we're doing the Where Are They Now next week.
Where Are They Now?
Yeah. For this season of Happily Ever After. But yeah, normally you'll get, if you're on that $15 tier, the smorgasbord tier, you'll get to watch us watching the episode. And then for the people in the $5, you can hear the podcast about it. But it's all, you can jump into something new. Family shock.
Like
shocky.
Acid.
Like acid. It's... Y'all, when Chantel gets shocked by her mother, we went somewhere. Truly.
These idiots. They just like, let's jump in the dumb wagon.
Yes.
And go over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And go over to see Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all.
Anyway.
Love Is Blind. To speak about Love Is Blind. The series finale dropped on Wednesday, and it was riveting.
It was.
Holy fuck.
It was actually riveting.
There was crying. There was angst. There was gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
There was generational pain caused by divorce.
Yeah. and then there was Chelsea. And there was Chelsea
crying into a fountain that most people had only puked corn dogs into.
Pretty much.
To me, it felt fitting. It just felt. Although, you know what? I think she deserved a bigger send off. I still think. But you know what? I got to give it to Jimmy. He didn't say no at the altar. He could have done that. And they've mm-hmm. done it. They've done worse for that. And I think they actually make more money. I think they make more money if they go to the altar.
Kind of wish he would have.
I agree, but I think it speaks to his character.
It does. It's a little masochistic that I want that, though. I just would kind of.
No, you're actually twisted. Something's wrong with you.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this before. But to watch Chelsea, some of Sissy's commented too. You're with me. To see Chelsea implode like that. I don't feel sorry for her.
Yeah, I understand her, but she does not need to be with anybody. And she we did not want to become Jimmy apologists, but we had to. She drove that man absolutely out of his gourd.
She did. There was some, actually, thank you. This reminds me, y'all, It dropped on Friday of last week. Listen to our interview with Damona Hoffman, a good friend, and she's a match expert. You've probably seen her on the Drew Barrymore show. She's on that at least a couple of times
a month.
My
friend, Damona Hoffman.
She laughed at that. She liked that.
I didn't even know I could do a Drew Barrymore impression. It's not very good.
I think it's pretty. I think if you worked on it, it's a pretty good Drew. It sounds a little bit Drew with a little bit of Meredith Marks.
Oh, yes.
So yeah. Either way, it's still entertaining.
They both use their mouths in a very interesting way.
It's not your sparkles. That's dead on. But but it's you know, it's good enough that I enjoy it. So keep doing it.
I made Damona laugh. That's all I care about.
That's all the gal. And she made us laugh, and she also made us gagged and gooped with some of the
She had some truths to dump on us.
She's a legit dating expert. Again, she's been doing this for years. She wrote a book called F the Fairy Tale, and she has a podcast that I've been on called Dates and Mates. Love her very much. She's a great person, too. So check that interview out. I think knowing sissies and how y'all like to talk about kind of the armchair psychology of it all, I think you'll love it.
And she talked about she has a background in casting, and we talked about a little bit of like – inside baseball about the casting processes and how these and how they work and how she said sometimes you want people who are TV ready.
Yeah, she talked about the difference of finding people actually right for the experiment, and then with it was great. Thank you for bringing that up. So it's on the available on the public feed.
It's my favorite casting term, TV ready. It's so loaded.
Some people would say that about us.
I'm loaded.
Well, you do say you're loaded, yes, yeah. But TV ready. Speaking of,
I don't know about TV ready.
No, you're
I'm afraid I'm going to say something really awful.
Exactly. Speaking of, some of you have messaged me. I don't know if you have. I've gotten four or five sissies, and I appreciate you for doing the work and making sure this happens.
A lot of people have told me about the roller coaster, and they really enjoyed it.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people are emailing me about Big Brother and telling me you've got Poodle, Big Brother. You can stop messaging me. It's aware Poodle has.
I'm working on my application.
He is actually going to do it this year. We're going to make him. I don't care. I have to sit there and fucking watch him like the way your mom watched you eat asparagus or your math homework.
No, my mother would. You know what? My mother stood over me and watched me to write, make me do thank you notes. When I'd have thank you notes.
My mother would make me do those.
My mother would sit at the table
while I'm cleaning up this kitchen and write those notes.
And you will sit there and watch me and go, thank you notes. Did I raise an ungrateful child? Maybe. Cough. That was before Muffin, but another dog we have would just be like looking disapprovingly.
I still do that now. I still write thank you notes now. Do you?
We're on tour.
Gah. Guess I'm a bad parent.
Cut Chaper didn't learn. Another thing I failed at. Oh. Another thing to take to my grave.
We are on tour with a new city. Who dis?
You can find all our tour dates available right now. There are some TBA cities, but we have one of those TBAs that are announced. Presale is going on now. I think it probably just ended if you're hearing this on Sunday. But everybody on RG Plus got an email with that would reiterated that pre-sale code, what that was. And we're at the Triple Door in Seattle on the 20th of June.
Sounds like a glory hole.
The Triple Door?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but isn't that right, Triple Door? Am I crazy?
Yeah, it's the Triple Door. It's in Seattle on June 20th.
On June 20th.
We will be there. There's a couple of...
I love Seattle.
You guys, you have to buy, and we asked them if they could change this, but right now so there's some booths, and you have to...
to buy four at one time.
Four at one time. We right now don't have any control over that. We would suggest if you're on the Facebook
group... Our first Atlanta
group,
venue was like that too. Do you remember?
Oh, it was. And we would suggest maybe connecting with other sissies and buying groups together. Yeah.
In our there are individual seats, but there's not as many. And there's some countertop seats as well. What I would say is if you're in our sissy squad, if Jackie hasn't done it yet, there should be one up soon with a show that says Seattle. And if you want to get a booth together, that would be wonderful because there are actually better seats than some of the others. The one thing about y'all, no venue is standardized. So we don't know what the fuck we're getting half the time. We're just trusting our booker. And we're at the mercy, and then we kind of have to wind up solving it after it happens.
Yep.
So be patient with that, and we'll find a way, and everyone will have a good time, and everyone's going to get a ticket that they want to, unless you try to buy it 2 weeks ahead of time, and then it'll all be gone.
Then it'll all be gone.
Yeah.
I just messaged Jackie right now to
go on our link tree and find all those dates. The TBA, some more TBA cities are coming. I'm talking to our booker probably tomorrow.
Also, I'm sorry, I thought you finished.
No, I'm done.
Also, we had an idea. We're going to make buttons, y'all. Loosen up my buttons, y'all. And they're going to be, you know how when you go to an event and they want to add, that you can do buttons like for your pronouns or something like that. That's great. Use whatever pronouns you want to use. But we're going to have a bowl of buttons that say solo sissy. And it's for you sissies that keep asking, like, I want to go to the show, but I'm scared.
But I'm worried about coming by myself. Yeah.
You just put on this button. I can't guarantee there's not going to be a picture of a cartoon dick on it, so be prepared. But it's going to say solo sissy, and then other sissies will know, hey, that's a friend. Because we promise you, some people have even started
more
dating
than that.
Yeah, started dating women because of somebody they met at our show. So,
but there have been a lot of people who met at shows. They were there by themselves. And they found either become friends or long distance friends over it. And this is a good time to get out of your shell. I mean, this is something, y'all, I go to shows by myself. I don't talk to other people.
And if you do and you don't want to grab a button, that's fine.
And that's
too.
Fine. If you're a poodle and you're a solo person that you just go by yourself and that's fine. You're good with that too. Great. But we know some people are worried and intimidated about going by themselves, which makes sense. But if you want one of those buttons, and then there might be some other solo sissies you hang out with. So,
yes. So we just asked, there will be a bowl, you can grab a button, and when you leave,
it's not really sanitary.
I don't care. And then when you leave, just put the buttons back because we're going to take those with us on every
city.
Don't
take them. Don't take them. Yes. They explode if you walk out of them with the venue.
Yes. Yes, that is what's going to happen.
They blow up your vagina.
Wow. Let's talk about something that I think some of you were excited about, some of you did not expect, and some of you are still reeling from, and that is Seeking Sister Wives.
Oh, it's back!
It's back.
Oh, y'all, on our Patreon that's allowed comments, there are like 80 comments on there.
People are very excited.
Everyone lost their minds. Everyone seems to be delivering this season. The Merrifields are functioning on a very dysfunctional level. Mm-hmm. The Davises bringing it. Nick is still thinking. And this season, he's feeling.
It confirmed from our Muslim sissies that there is a couple that are using Islam completely inappropriately to validate their poodle was right to validate their polygamy.
Like, she's like, well, from growing up in Islam, I'm just thinking about what I saw. And I'm like, where were you? someone did say there are Nation of Islam, which is an American, pretty much a black cultural expression of Islam. Which does do things a little bit differently, but it's still not widely practiced there.
It's just
they're making things up. They're using religion like Christians and every other religion does to justify what they want to do.
Yeah. So, that again. If you think about it, it's sad. So don't think about it because it's really fucking funny. We're having a good time. The first episode was on our public feed. However, the next episode, it's not. It's going to be on the whole enchilada. That's at the $8 tier that you get you would get this show commercial free if you're on that.
There's also a lot of questionable eyebrows this season. There are always, this season always has a lot of, or this show always has questionable eyebrows.
It does.
One woman had what I call, you called them turd brows, and I called them pudding brows because it looks like she just dipped her hand in a cup of Jell-O pudding and just did her eyebrows that way.
Did her eyebrows that way, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, it, y'all, it's some of the best trash. It's primo trash. It's the Veuve Clicquot.
Veuve Clicquot.
Veuve Clicquot of garbage television. Really is something special.
Oh, look, someone just invited me to go away with them on March 23rd. Too bad I can't.
You gotta see my show, which is all psychological and shit.
I mean, when the heading of the show says "Tell someone you love them before it's too late," I'm like, "Well, this is going to be a comedy."
Trigger warning: there's suicide in the show.
Yeah, well, it's a check. It's based off Chekhov. Whoa!
I never said it was a laugh. There are funny moments. They're darkly funny.
I'm sure it's going to have beautiful music, and
it's really good. It's the cast, they're going to pull it out. They're trying to kill me, the cast is, because one girl has been sick for a while, and then the older male just came in without his voice tonight, and I'm like, they're all trying to kill me.
When do you go up?
Friday.
Oh, so tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, go up tomorrow.
River? River, you want to be in a musical where someone commits suicide, River?
I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous.
Really? You're going to kill yourself with a wrench?
Basically, you're not sleeping these days.
Not sleeping. So, anyway, you can go to the apparently Indiegogo, not Indiegogo. Thank you.
Indiegogo. Indiegogo. It's in our link tree. And if you don't want to give money to us to put on the show, you can buy a ticket. Either one.
All right.
If you want to meet us, you need to go to Indiegogo and buy the perk where we're both going to be there the 23rd. I'm going to be there every Saturday, but I'll probably stop going to shows after the problems stop happening.
Ah.
But there's only 9 shows, so yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. Great. I'm only going to the one.
You don't need to see it more than once.
I don't need to see it more. I don't feel, if it was a comedy or a farce, maybe, but I feel like, you know, I don't want to be gutted more than just, you know, because your music is pretty and it'll probably make me cry.
I don't think I'd call my music pretty. I think I would take issue with that term.
Well, you don't get to say that. I could say what I think about it. I think it's pretty and you can suck a dick. That's the point of making art. You can't judge how it's talked about. You have to let it go and give it to the asses.
Give it to the asses.
Boy.
Let's move on. We're doing a collab with 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose next week for the reunion of Love is Blind. And I think that'll be on our free feed. That'll be on our public feed.
And, as well as Archie.
So if you want to hear what we all have to say about the reunion and just what they have to say about this season.
I think it's going to be a good reunion.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
All right. Let's do this, shall we?
I was whelmed by this tell-all, by this part two. It started out very strong.
It did.
And then it didn't.
I mean, so y'all, Jasmine's sobbing, and Gina's like, she doesn't have to be upset like that. and Jasmine is just, she goes,
I like it when she sobs, she goes,
she does. Yes. I feel like if the chicks remade, if they called it Gino Had to Die, that Nikki and Jasmine would be Marianne and Wanda.
I would agree.
Right? Yeah. She probably said, "Ooh, I love that song where we kill Gino."
Daisy, the stripper, I This felt, I don't know why. I know all's fair in love and tell alls. This just felt a little rough.
When what are you talking about? When she's sobbing,
to bring on the stripper.
When she's sobbing and Daisy can hear it, and she's just kind of looking around her dressing room, like, why didn't I finish high school?
Yeah, it's that, and it just feels. It felt gross. Like we didn't. I think it would have been different if we had seen Daisy on camera,
mm-hmm.
and we would have had an interview, or if they could have talked to her, that night.
I don't think it was fake at all. I think, though, this was really, oddly enough, the only thing that was the issue, really, for Gino and Jasmine.
Yeah.
And so they had to, and they know Gino, they want Gino and Jasmine to, well, they already are. Gino and Jasmine are part of their tentpole characters now.
They are.
And so they're going to promote them as much, and they wanted to promote and build this up for Happily Ever After.
They're always going to deliver. And we find out, y'all, if we didn't say it last time, Gino's ex, his girlfriend before Jasmine, worked at a strip club.
Yes.
So
now,
it's
we
not
don't know.
Really coming out of nowhere.
No. And was she a dancer or did she do the books? Well, I don't think we ever found out.
I don't think she was their HR manager.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
So yeah, Sean is saying, you know, Sean's saying, we're going to give Jasmine the space she
needs.
We're
going to give Jasmine some space. Could you put her in the back dressing room?
I fucking hate him. God.
And y'all, she does come back after saying, this is it, I'm done. And she says to Daisy, he was hugging you and smelling you, and he had never complimented me in those ways. And she even said, Daisy's like, he really wasn't complimenting me. He was just kind of laughing awkwardly.
Yeah, she said he actually behaved pretty respectfully. And really, she said he pretty much was hanging out with his family. He really wasn't even there that much.
And so she's like, so, the lip gloss, was it yours? And she goes, no, I never left the club with him. Because why would Daisy need to lie at this point?
If you just saw what Jasmine went through, I'd lie through my teeth.
That's probably true.
But I don't think she needed to, but I don't think she was, but I would. I'd be like, just get me the fuck out of this.
So later on,
I think they're talking about, what is it saying? She says, from my point of view, he was having a good time with his family, right? You said that. And Jasmine says, but you know, when Gino is being the most awkward, he is the most flirtatious.
Fair. That is very true. That is how Gino flirts. He's just very...
when you flirt.
Gino's actually worse, but I am pretty awkward. I love, though, that she says it in all seriousness.
Yes. When he flirts, he is the most awkward.
You know, it's kind of funny. You're right. I do flirt like Gino, and you flirt like Jasmine, which is obvious and sad.
No, it gets the job done.
Yeah, it's literally, God. Y'all. He's like a cat in heat.
Yeah, no one has any doubt. Although that's not, you know what? When I've been accused of flirting when I didn't think I was flirting.
No, because you are.
I have flirting. When I want to flirt with someone, it's really obvious. And when I'm casually talking with people, sometimes it seems like I'm flirting.
Oh, God. That just reminded me, by the way, y'all, I wanted to say we do have a little bit of sad news that if some of you remember OG, but Spencer the cat has gone over the Rainbow Bridge. So we haven't announced that on the show yet. So you brought up cat. Anyway, it was very quick. He
lived a very long life. He was 21 years old.
21 years old, and still will go down as Poodle will never forgive him for upstaging him.
I will say, it takes a bad motherfucker to upstage me.
So and he did.
Respect, Spencer.
He did. So anyway, I just know some of you asked one time, I posted in the squad, but I just want to let everybody know, so he's in a better place.
So then Sean says, we're going to take a break because Jasmine has to reapply.
Yeah.
And she says, you know that this is it, Gino. This is it.
Yes. Yeah,
you crossed the line. I'm done. And Gino could all just like, I just don't understand why she's mad.
He's like, I don't think so.
And Gino comes back into the break room while the cast is kind of digging at Jasmine.
They're Jasmine, but also a little bit of Gino, because like Sam said, like when Gino did tell everybody that she was a stripper and Sean was like, I don't think we knew that. Sam goes, well, that makes sense. So they're kind of grilling, I think, both of them.
And of course, Ashley says, y'all just need to like bang it out.
She does say it. She's like, you got to release this energy somehow. That's why they're so upset, because they don't fuck enough. And Manuel's just sitting there kind of nodding like, yeah, mm-hmm. See. Mm-hmm.
And this later on.
But Gino brings up that this is the cycle. And it never stops. And he says, and this is actually what affects his sexual intimacy. And what makes him not happy is that it's hysterics, then calm. Hysterics, and I 100% believe him in that.
Then Jasmine says, I did not want to do this, but I need to show you something. And it's, and Gino says, oh, Jesus. And she reads this note from this manila envelope, mysterious manila envelope that says, Jasmine, Gino had so much fun at his bachelor party. You can keep the lip gloss. And here's my panties. So.
And didn't they say they wrote the note in English and Spanish?
Yeah, something like that. But here's the issue here, y'all. This was from some crazy person.
Either a crazy person or Rachel made one of the PAs do it in the dead of night and not tell anyone.
That could be true as well. Mm-hmm.
Y'all, Rachel's a producer. We just call her Rachel.
It's just. And I think even Jasmine knows this is a crank. But it makes Jasmine crazy. So it did what it needed to do.
And even Nikki is supporting. She's like, look, you need to be stronger because you know that he does love you. And it makes you go, wow. At least Jasmine has that. You don't even have that, Nikki. Because Justin's such a fucking asshole.
Wow. You know what?
What a dick.
We're going to his performance on the tele. I'm calling it a performance because it was so over the top. Although it was real, I think. Every problem that Nikki had gave us on the tele, every reason we hated watching their segments, they were based on her. All we're going to forget about all of that because how awful he was.
I think it kind of validated a lot that she was saying over the season. We'll talk about that. Well, actually, they're the next couple. Actually, they're when they go back to set, it is time for Nikki and Justin.
Sean says,
yeah, go ahead.
After 20 years, you'd think that people's feelings would be clear. And I think this is very reductive. And I do want to say that this isn't I don't use the word normal, but this isn't a typical courtship for 90 Day Fiancé. This is way, way layered and filled with shame, homophobia, transphobia. Like, it's filled
misogyny.
All of these layers that would prevent these two from being together. So it's not just, and they're also
tool.
Lots of tool. And also, like, the fact that they were together before and he was really, really young, again, it's creepy. Like, he was like 19 years old. We forget that too.
Yeah.
And I just... They wanted to do this. I know exactly why they did this, y'all, because Matt Sharp isn't done with Nikki.
Oh, so, no, she's going to be on Single Life.
Exactly. They're giving her the best edit here for that. I'm kind of not falling for it, even though he was awful.
I saw moments of him where he, like, I thought was really gross to her. And not that you didn't either, but I feel like as watching their season, there were moments where I got off his bandwagon very quickly. And I think because the things he did in the season, I saw this person, I could see that early on and just felt he was fake as fuck early on and using her just for money. And this just solidified all that for me.
Yeah.
And it made me feel sorry for her.
But you don't think she was still abusive in the way he talked to her?
I do. Yeah. Okay. I think she was so abusive at first, and what she did to him as far as weaponizing, we kind of all immediately went, oh, this poor guy just trying.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there.
I think we played off the sympathy that he gets from other people that you're just trying to do the right thing. Or whatever that is. And I think that lured some people in to just focus on Nikki and not recognize that he is such a fucking user.
Yeah.
And I understand, and a little bit of why we see her be hysterical is a little bit like, Jasmine and Gino, that is Jasmine. Doesn't have a lot to do with Gino. She goes off in that. I do think, though, the way Justin speaks to her, acts to her, denies physicality from her, she's doing these hysterics to try to get his attention of validation and love.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying it's his fault per se, but I do think he is co-creating that dynamic with her and 100%. Taking no responsibility for it.
I am totally agreeing with you here. I'm just saying what his performance overshadowed, and she's going to get a clean slate.
Yeah. I'm glad it showed it, though. I don't think we saw like little tidbits of that throughout the season. But here, when it wasn't edited and in a tell-all, you kind of, it's like the lights are brighter, the camera is closer, and you can see people a little bit more with the magnifying glass. And that's what we saw with him. Because he doesn't even let her speak. Did you notice how he just talked over her and just the whole fucking time?
No, I think what I'm saying is the tough questions were to him. There were no tough questions to Nikki. That's what I'm saying.
No, because he couldn't. I think that's actually on him because he came in guns blazing, being a dick, and then it becomes blood in the water and sharks.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Let's go." But I agree. Yeah, Nikki was not. There was not tough questions for Nikki.
So they ask, "Are you broken up?" And Justin said, "I need to hear." They try to say Justin's side of the breakup. He said, I will miss her because I love her. But when she went back to New York, it was...
I felt free.
Our relationship wasn't good. And I realized it was bad. And I wanted to be free. And he said, we broke up 10 times a day and I wanted some stability. And Sean said, so why did you break up over text? And he said... Well, she does talk over me, and I get confused with my language. I can actually understand that because I can understand doing that. What he says next is not. So he says, but she is giving me vibes. Remember, y'all, that's when he says manly vibes.
He says man vibes.
I'm going to say something. As much as I think this has to do with what he considers homophobia or transphobia, I think it's also to do with misogyny.
No, that's why I brought it up earlier.
Yeah, and I think it has more to do with how he thinks women, and I'm not saying this for all Moldovan men, I think Eastern European men definitely have a thought of this, and he's the extreme example of this, that a woman should be submissive and act, as he said, be more ladylike. And I feel like the panel was missing the point of this. What he was saying is she needs to nod her head at me and agree with me and not be too, quote, bossy with me.
No, he doesn't want her to have, he doesn't want to want her to have an opinion really at all.
This is straight up misogyny more than it's transphobia.
Yeah.
I'm sure that has that to do with it, but I think he'd have a problem with a woman, a cis woman. Who was like Nikki?
Yeah, I think it has to do with transphobia because I feel like he doesn't want to be with her physically. But here's the deal: the difference of like Andre, who's from the same town. Actually, is it the same country or same town? Even
Chisinau. Yeah, I think it's the capital.
And Andre is smart. Andre's a smart guy.
Yeah, this guy's dumb. He figured things
out quickly. He also lived out of his country. Libby met him in Ireland.
Yeah.
Justin's fucking dumb.
No, he's provincial.
And this is a meal ticket for him. So I agree with what you're saying, but I also think one thing he is kind of smart about, he knows he can't say, I'm not physically attracted to a trans woman, because he knows he'll get obliterated for that, because that's showing his card that he's in this relationship just for Nikki to pay for his fucking plastic surgery and shit.
See, that would mean that he was smart, I guess. That's what I'm
saying. I think that's the one thing he has some type of intelligence about, because he knows what, if he says that, he knows it's game over. But if he's able to talk about her acting manly or acting feminine, then it's a way of this gaslighting and manipulation of her so he can keep her on the fishing pole so he can still get money.
I guess I could see that. I feel like, to me, the idea of her, maybe he can't verbalize it. Maybe that's it too. But I think him saying, he's even said, I don't know if I'm trans attracted to her. That was something that he said. Mm-hmm. But it's in the middle of, it's straddling transphobia and just straight up misogyny.
No, I think both. Yeah. But don't you think for him to say, but... I don't know about you, but I'm fucking tired of that excuse. You don't know if you're trans attractive. Again, 20 years you've been in the, and she's been out trans for
a very long time.
So it's not like she just told him I'm trans a year ago. He's known this for years, and he's still, what he's been doing is dangling this carrot in front of Nikki of maybe one day I'll love you for who you really are.
But remember,
and that is the grossest part of it.
Remember when they met,
he did not know she was trans.
He did not.
Right.
But I also feel like that's like, that was fucking 10 years ago.
Right. I'm just, I
don't think he can use that excuse anymore.
I understand that. Time. I think though, for a lot of people, when you love someone, the first initial aspects of that person, and you understand that, and then you thought it was a woman, and that part about them, and then that changes. And I think you're trying to rewrite those changes in your brain. So I think we need to make some allowance for that.
I agree, but I do not agree. I do not think we need to make an allowance for him. Not after a fucking decade to do it.
Okay.
I think that's giving him too much time. 2 years, maybe 3 years, but you've known this for a fucking 10 years?
Well, their relationship wasn't continuous. You know that.
That's true. That's true. It was like on and off again.
What I'm saying, it's on and off again. They stopped, and then like 15 years later.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe we're not clear on the timeline of it.
I'm just saying we don't, the import of that for someone who thought he was conventionally straight.
You know what it is? You know why I disagree with this? Because I think it's an invalid point to this. It doesn't, because you're talking about somebody who with a good heart who actually would want to be with someone. It's invalid because he's just fucking using her. So it doesn't matter. I think you bring up a good point, but there's no point of that argument in this because he's just clearly just trolling her for money.
Okay.
Don't you think? Like, it seems like that wouldn't connect.
I'm not even thinking about that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at how things are presenting on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to out yourself to someone in a situation like that and basically where they have to question their own sexuality, a straight Eastern European male,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they weren't together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get back together after 15 years and then have another 2 years, I completely see that he's trying to get money from her. But I'm saying, I'm saying it's to me it's more layered than you're seeing, of trans attraction, sexual attraction to them, and I don't think he can reconcile in his brain.
Mm.
And that may actually. Now, the idea to use her is a completely different thing. I just think that's like on a whole different island.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
That just goes into, because it's interesting, if she, do you think when he first met her, he wanted to use her? Before he knew everything about her?
I mean, that was 20 years ago, so exactly. We don't know what type of person he was. So, because people could change. So I would have ventured to say probably not. He did say, like he said, he does want to live in America. And he said at one point, he's like, "Well, this is not the way." So maybe he did go, "Oh, I'm falling in love with a, because she was older. And so I'm falling in love with an older woman who's an American. That's great and convenient. And maybe this checks all the boxes."
Right. I want to contend your point here is because a lot of this is ethical for him, and it's not about defending himself. He's trying to preach his ideas. Mm-hmm. So ideas are more important than him than money, even though he's asking for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he's going on with saying they, she says, she, Ashley did, then comes for him, says that that's when we get off topic. She's like, why would you tell a woman you love and say they have man vibes? That's her just trying to defend LGBT people. I get it. But they made up a few months ago and she went to Moldova for his birthday. They had sex and she put the ring back on. To me, now we're complicit. I can't feel sorry for her.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry is not the word, but I just the whole I don't feel sorry for her. I feel sad for the situation in that, you know, she wasn't such a fame whore and didn't want to be famous. If she was kind of like a typical trans person trying to live their life, I definitely would feel more sorry for her.
So then he said, Sean says, why did you go back? And Nikki says, I was in love with him. And this is interesting. When he would said the upper part or the down part, what do you think that means? Obviously it means, to him, it felt like all she wanted was sex from him.
The upper part or the down part? Where? I'm looking at my notes.
That's what Justin said. Igor. She goes, I was in love with him. And he said, the upper part or the down part? Or basically, the upper part, my brain, or me, or my cock.
Oh. And I couldn't tell when he said that. He, like, smiled. So I'm like, are you joking or are you serious?
I think he was serious.
But he smiled when he said it. So I actually wrote, if you're serious, this is really fucked up and sad to say it. And if you're joking, then come on.
It was a big thing in their relationship that he thought she wasn't getting enough sex. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it was always a little bit predatory in behavior. And she complained about it and she insulted him about it. Mm-hmm. And that's why he made that. So that's how she made him feel. I don't want to defend him. I'm just saying.
No, because he feel her just, I think that is just as gross as him being with someone.
Yeah.
And not having sex with her and holding that carrot when he clearly doesn't want to, have sex with her. Like, because one of the cast members said, I forget, they were like, I just think he's not into her at all physically. I think both those things are atrocious.
So he, his ex,
and cruel.
Then we go into her extreme jealousy, because his ex reached out to Nikki on social media, and they were talking about meeting up. And she made these rules that you can't see your ex. I don't think he meant it to be funny, but it came off that way. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he was joking. He's like, see this arm? I'm not fucking anybody else. In other words, I'm jerking off.
Yeah. That's his stupid dad joke things he makes.
But I'm saying that's not a dad joke. That's real for him. And then it gets weird. And he's saying that's when it turns into open season on him, and I think it's merited, but not for the right thing. Because then Ashley says, were you with other women? Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, this is not what we should be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
even Manuel goes, nothing he says makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's true.
The problem is he's trying to speak in English, and it's just not doing well. He says he loves Nikki. And then he says, are you fully at ease with trans women? And he says, of course. And then this is where he says, if she behaved more like a lady, things would be fine with us.
And I think what I get, roll my eyes, is that he talks out of both sides of his mouth. He says he's attracted to trans people, but then in the beginning he says he's not trans attractive. So,
well, I think that wasn't in the beginning of this episode. Nikki said he had made a statement. I doubt he used the term trans attractive.
No, he texted it to her.
Oh, that was in the final episode.
Yeah, he texted it. That's what he texted to her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Well, not cool, but
no, I was saying cool to understand.
Yeah.
But what do you think of this? If you behaved more like a lady, she looks like a lady. What does behave mean?
I think it's, again, he's not a smart guy, so he's not going to have a complex view of he's a misogynist, and so.
Right.
There's no way I think this guy is going to have a complex a complex view of this. Like what Jasmine was saying, which was, again, Jasmine goes off on her own stuff and she's completely ridiculous. But then when she talks about other people, it's so well spoken.
Yeah.
And I think Jasmine phrased that so eloquently about masculinity and femininity. But he's not ever, I think it's like asking a walrus to jump off a cliff and fly.
Right,
he's never going to do it.
You, what do you think he meant? Like he said, if she behaved more like a lady, things would be fine with us.
I think what you said earlier, I think he wants her to shut up and just listen to what he says.
Yeah. I still think that to me is weighted more than her being trans. I think you could almost get over the trans part.
Possibly. I don't know, because I think it's just as big, though. I think they're looking at the trans thing, and they're not really seeing the misogyny much at all. I think they're both two pretty big things. And the thing is that, and I said it's way in the beginning, he's still a pretty young guy, and he clearly is...
He's 38 or 37.
He's sexual because he talks about it a lot. And even if he wasn't just a guy who looks like that and the way he acts, he would at least, if he was with a woman he thought was hot and at least body was attracted, he would still fuck her even if he wasn't into it. This isn't Gino we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think there is a physicality. I like Clayton said, I just think he's not attracted to trans women, period. And he's definitely not attracted to just women who are assertive and speak their mind clearly. So I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put him on the burn pile, y'all. We're not going to see him anymore.
This is too layered of a conversation to have on a tell-all. And so
we also don't know a lot about them.
Yeah.
We really don't.
Even though they were on so many episodes this season.
But we've hinted that he's had plastic surgery. She calls out things that she paid for. He never admits to any of them.
Right.
And acts, and again, makes her, he's like, no, and completely changes. So we don't know what's true.
Yeah. And I don't want to seem like I'm I think he's a garbage person.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't like, it's my justice impulse, I don't like them to paint him one way of a transphobe who is just there to steal her money. Because I think it's much more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was kind of on the tell-all. I think they're not good with complicated moral arguments on these shows.
I guess the way I see it, I think it's less because you can talk about all that, but I kind of think it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. It's important to talk about, but it doesn't matter in the context like I do, but I think I look at him differently. I see this guy as an Azan, as a Daniel Mohammed. I just think he's in that pile. So I actually feel like part of him wants them to debate all the trans, because that means he thinks that he actually gives a shit about her. And I think he solely is using her just for a green card and money.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about means like someone who's actually trying to be in love and be in a relationship with a person.
Yeah.
And it's,
why would he keep going? He could get it.
I agree. Why not choose someone easier? But maybe it's because he knows she'll always come back to him and give him fucking money.
Possibly. But the thing is, there has to be, I feel like she's just as implicated in this as he is.
I think she is a very emotionally abusive person.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I think they both are very cruel to one another.
So it's just, I think you, it's,
yeah.
I just, for me, it's just hard to stand up and defend either of them. So
no, I think they're both. I think they're both burnt people. But of course, he's not going to let rule one of Olga Poodleskaya, or rule two, or I don't know. You never let go of somebody that's giving you money until either
you find someone with more money.
You find someone with more money, and you got to remember, he's dumb.
He is dumb.
Azin had to get Nickel because it's very similar to them, because Azin had to find someone that was so broken about themselves and had such little confidence in themselves because they were too dumb to run a con. Mohammed, he's an idiot. He had to find Danielle. This guy had to find someone like Nikki, who's so broken about themselves that she'll take any fucking scrap that you get. The thing that makes it very different is that it's saying something. I would say out of all of those three women in relationships, Nikki treats her partner the very fucking worst, even more than Danielle and Nicole.
I need to go back. I wonder what happened in between the time where they didn't talk.
What I'm saying. We don't know that.
Why would he reach out to her again? Because he was the one who reached out.
Yeah, that's. I agree with you. I think that's a lot of their story. Because
to me,
get.
that's where the kind of like the con thing it hinges all upon that for me.
Who knows? Did he reach out? Did he know that she was on more television shows?
Doesn't have a ton of money. I'm gonna tell you that, y'all. She doesn't have a ton of money.
And did they both reach out because they both agreed to be on this show together? Some people think that they did that.
That's part of it. Yeah.
And I think they're both gross enough to do it of, hey, let's just be on this show.
Yeah. I just think, like a lot of things, the things that are talked about on the tell-all were full of sound and fury. And the real points weren't really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to stop. Because we gotta talk about Sam and Sheetra and Clayton and Annalie and
Devin and Nick.
Devin and Nick. But that
very
was short
Devin and Nick. There's a little bit more Nikki and Justin.
God, do we even have to? Ugh.
We'll see. I mean, it's.
This is when the real transphobia section comes in and.
And he gets, because that's like Nikki says, he said last night, he said he isn't gay or trans attractive. And Justin goes like, that means I'm straight. So, which brings in that whole, I do think that homophobia and misogyny are way bigger things for him than transphobia. Yeah. But also don't think he understands transphobia.
He doesn't. That's the thing.
Because he's that stupid.
It's less than him being stupid, that having no cultural understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anything like that. Do you remember when they made a movie Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino, where Al Pacino was robbing a bank to get a what they call back then a sex change for his partner. No one knew what that was. That's where Igor is. Mm. He's literally in a 70s or 80s mindset about what a trans person is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no education. So in a way, he is stupid about it. But the further eastern you go in Europe, the more you've seen what happens in like Chechnya and places like that for LGBT people.
Agreed. And so he's ignorant about it. And though he's had years to, at least when we're to research there, as far as I know, in Moldova, they have free internet or an internet is accessible.
No, I agree.
There is. And I bring up, it goes back to the point. If he actually loved her and cared about her, he would have made the effort and researched
true.
More.
What do you think about him introducing her to his parents? And
all just to show, because she was there. He knew he had to.
Wow, that's cynical.
I think this guy is a Mohammed. I think he's an Azin. I think he's that gross.
I just feel like, why would you go? Because think of all the questions your mom
and her husband are going to have.
They don't care because he's probably giving them money too from her.
So now you're implicating the mom and the stepdad.
Probably.
In this.
I don't know if they know, but probably they know he's getting money.
Yeah. I think this is feeling like a little Aunt Darla situation. Hey. And I want you to think about that. I think that's a leap you're making. That the parents are fine with it because they want money too.
Maybe they're not all into it, but I don't think they care because he's a loser and they know that. And he's never done anything. And
interesting.
Yeah.
I just, that's extremely cynical.
I think he's that gross. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we won't see him again.
What a great way to end.
Not him. Hide your wallets, y'all. Hide your wallets. All right, everybody. That's the show. Go to, if you wanted to listen to the show without commercials, you can do that on our $8 RG Plus tier, the whole enchilada tier. You can go to patreon.com/realitygaze, or you can subscribe on Apple subscriptions right there in your podcast app. Just click on become an Apple subscriber, and you can do it there, or you can go to our Supercast. That's all at Reality Gaze. You can see those links there. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. If you want to go to the Indiegogo for Jake's show, the link is in the show notes. You can look there. You can also find our link tree for our tickets. More shows will be announced to Phoenix, LA, Austin,
Atlanta,
Charlotte,
some others.
I'm missing something. Denver. Those will be coming soon too. We will let you know. All right, everybody. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you and if you have
Don't
ever
ever touch my breast ever.
Yeah, let's just call it. We can't get through it.
That's what Sean should have said.
Yeah,
let's call just it. Call it.
Pull the plug. That's a wrap.